let's get through these March Madness picks. I am so happy that March Madness is here. You know, this tournament is in a class of its own. Even though most folks only pay attention to the sport for 2 weeks, unlike me, who pays attention starting in November, this is absolutely incredible. And the tournament is just going to be absolutely chaotic this year, because really there is no overwhelming favorite that stands out above the rest of the teams that you would say, oh, they're going to be the national champion. Could be Alabama, could be Kansas, Houston, Purdue. It could be Arizona, UCLA. It could be a lot of different teams this year. The parity is virtually at an all-time high, or at least as far back as I can remember in my 25, almost 26 years of existence. So let's just pick the bracket. Let's fill it out. Start in the South with Bama as the number one overall seed. Funny to see Alabama, top team seeded in basketball. This isn't football, Nick Saban. No, this is Nate Oates and Alabama basketball. Incredible that Alabama has gotten to this spot, considering all the controversy this season that's happened off the court with Brandon Miller, Darius Miles, and all that. But we are finally here, and Bama is the number one seed overall in the South region. They are going to either play Texas A&M Corpus Christi or Southeastern Missouri, who meet in the first four. And it really doesn't matter who plays Bama, because they're going to move on. There's several reasons why they're the number one overall seed, Bama. And really, neither TAMU Corpus Christi or Southeastern Missouri State can keep up, I don't think. So we'll keep it moving. Next is the 8-9 matchup in the South region. You got Maryland as the 8 seed going against the 9 seed West Virginia. The Mountaineers of West Virginia are actually a point favorite in this game. Takes place on Thursday in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm going to go with West Virginia just because I think they're a little more battle-tested playing in the Big 12, the toughest conference by far in college basketball, top to bottom. Bob Huggins, a longtime West Virginia coach, active wins leader in the sport. His team's always, they may not be the most talented and not the most deep, but they always have this toughness, this grittiness to them. They always play with effort. Their best player, Eric Stevenson, should put on a show. Maryland, they can also have a stingy defense too. They're also, you know, being part of the Big Ten, they have some battles as well in a deep league. But I think I'm going to go with West Virginia just because Huggins is a bit more experienced with the tournament, and I think he can get his kids better prepared. Okay, next up, so this is the 5-12 matchup. And for those of you who are totally unfamiliar with just the culture around March Madness, basically, if you ever want to pick an upset, the trendy way is to go with a 5 getting upset by a 12. A 12 over 5, it's happened really virtually every year in the past 15, 20 years. It's just a reliable upset that has happened. It's just no matter what the case, a 12 over 5, it's going to happen, I would bet. Now, in this game, it's the 5 seed San Diego State, 4.5 point favorites versus the 12 seed Charleston, taking place also Thursday in Orlando, Florida. San Diego State is very good on defense. Their best player, point guard Darian Trammell, very good at running the offense. And San Diego State also historically is known for having a good defense as well. Their school has had players such as Kawhi Leonard come out of there. So they are not a no-name program by any stretch. Charleston, they're known for really kind of a spread the floor, run and gun, three-pointers at will type of offense. So it's a matchup of contrasting styles, but I think San Diego State will dictate tempo a little bit. and I will not pick a 12th upset of 5. I'm going with the San Diego State Aztecs to win and move to the round of 32. Next up is the 4-13 matchup in this region. Number 4 seeded Virginia Cavaliers, 6.5-point favorites versus number 13 seed Furman, also Thursday in Orlando, Florida. So, Virginia, they are the school that currently is the only school to ever lose in a 16-1 matchup. I believe I saw the record the other day. Teams, number 1 seeds are 127-1 versus 16 seeds. And one time that a loss happened, it was Virginia a few years ago. I think it was 3-4 years ago, but then the season after they won the national championship. So basically that kind of gets erased, canceled out. But regardless, this year, Virginia, solid team from the ACC, lost to Duke in the ACC title game on Saturday night. Tony Bennett always has his guys playing well. Virginia, they're known for low scoring, slow games, but they've done it very, very well. That's why Tony Bennett is one of the most successful coaches in college basketball today. No matter what players come into Virginia, they always come out knowing how to play defense. There are a few Virginia players in the NBA. Even though the NBA today is all, you know, spread the floor, shoot threes at will, you still have several good players out of Virginia that are thriving in the NBA. So Tony Bennett runs a good program at Virginia for sure. Kia Clark is best player. Just been, it seems like forever now. And this time of year, Virginia just knows how to play in the postseason. So they will do pretty well in this game, I think. On the other side for Furman, 27 school wins, a school record. They are actually the best team in the nation when it comes to field goal percentage on 2-point shots. They shoot just over 59% from 2. Again, best in the nation. So Furman, definitely an upset, also a possibility to keep an eye on. But I'm going to go with Virginia and Tony Bennett to move on to the round of 32. Okay, now, next game up. Number 6 Creighton, 5.5-point favorites, going up against number 11 NC State. This is a game on Friday in Denver, Colorado. Creighton, I think, is seeded a bit lower than I think they should be, because Creighton was talked, they were ranked in the top 10 in the preseason, I believe, and a few people actually considered them to be the best team in the country before the first games back in November of 2022. But bottom line, Greg McDermott, the head coach for Creighton, they are terrific on offense. They can beat you up and down the floor. Their defensive rebounding is a little bit of a question mark, but here's the thing. They're playing an NC State team that got beat by Clemson 3 times straight up in the season, and Clemson didn't even make the tournament. Clemson was one of the big snubs from the tournament, in my opinion, and NC State's kind of limping in here. Creighton, I think this is one of the more easier games to pick in the tournament. All signs point to Creighton winning and moving to the round of 32. I just don't see how NC State is really going to keep up with the Blue Jays. Next up, you got the number 3 Baylor Bears, number 3 seed in the South region, is 11-point favorites taking on UC Santa Barbara, the 14 seed, and also a game on Friday in Denver, Colorado. So Baylor was the national champion back in 2021, and one of the players from that team is still here, Adam Flagler, and he's part of a trio, an elite backcourt trio for the Baylor Bears, which includes him, LJ Cryer, and a sensational freshman Keontae George, who should be a top draft pick in the draft this year. The thing about Baylor, though, is usually with their elite teams the past several seasons, they've had great defenses, but this year their defense, I've noticed a lot by watching some of their games, they've been exposed on defense. In some of their games, they've just gotten flatly outscored. when and their offense when they don't hit shots, and then their defense just is non-existent. So that's a real concern with Baylor, because I don't see Baylor as a true national title contender this year. I actually think they're a bit overseeded. Their resume definitely warrants that three seed, I guess, just because they're coming from the Big 12, which is the toughest conference in the country, and they, you know, they dealt with Texas and Kansas on a regular basis, and you know, they beat other quality opponents, but their defensive issues are just going to keep them from cutting down the nets again. So I don't see them really getting to the Final Four, but they're going up against Santa Barbara, who plays at a slower pace and just simply cannot match Baylor's firepower, especially with the backcourt trio I mentioned earlier. So I'm going to have Baylor moving on to the round of 32. And then we'll come back to Baylor later to see how far they get in the bracket. Next game up, final two games in the region. First one is 7-seed Missouri against number 10 Utah State, Thursday in Sacramento. This is going to be a shootout, a fireworks show, because these two teams love to run up and down the court. Particularly, let's start with Missouri. They're a bit more reliant on the defensive side of the ball, but Dennis Gates, nonetheless, has done a terrific job in his first year. And he actually got extended this week, I think through 2028 or 2029. And Missouri, they played in the SEC very, very well. Obviously, a little behind teams such as Alabama, Texas A&M, Kentucky, Tennessee, those teams, they're a bit more upper echelon in the conference. But Missouri was right there below them for most of the season, and they're sporting a good team now. On the other side for Utah State, the Aggies have this guy named Steven Ashworth, who I've heard been described as kind of a mini Steve Nash type of player. And Utah State, they don't really have turnover issues. And what I meant to say with Missouri being defensively reliant, they thrive off of turnovers, getting into the fast break and transition. And if Utah State plays to their strengths and just takes care of the ball, then I don't see Missouri really winning this game. You know, I'm kind of thinking Utah State in an upset. I just, this funny feeling that Missouri is just not there yet. I think they're a year or two away, if they can retain some of their players, to really, really compete in the SEC and beyond. But Utah State's favored for a reason, and I'm just going to go with the Aggies in an upset, because it's March Madness, and why not some upsets? Now, this final game in the South region is not going to be an upset. You got the number 2-seeded Arizona Wildcats, 13-point favorites over the 15-seed Princeton. Also, Thursday game in Sacramento. Just Arizona's length and athleticism, I think, is going to be too much for Princeton. I think Arizona's best player, Sabulis, and Bella are their two best players. They did lose to UCLA in the Pac-12 title game, but Arizona is still a super elite team, definitely a top 10 team, top 8 team in the country, and they're definitely a threat in this region to challenge Bama, and they will definitely get through Princeton to the round of 32. Okay, so that was the South region. Gonna have to split the episode up into segments. So I'm going to go next with the Midwest region. And then in the next segment, I'll cover the Midwest, I'll cover the West and the East regions. So moving on to the Midwest region, you have the, what I believe, Houston, many people think also are, and me also, think are the is the best team overall in the country, even though their schedule isn't that great, but a lot of metrics say that Houston is the best. And Houston also has the potential to play at NRG and cut down the nets in their hometown, which is something I think they would be looking forward to quite a bit. First up, though, they have to play the number 16 seed Northern Kentucky. This is a Thursday game in Birmingham, Alabama. And Houston are 21-point favorites. Now, I think they're going to win. I don't know how much by how much is if it's really going to be by 21, because the big question is now Marcus Sasser, one of their best players, injured himself in the AAC title game versus Memphis on Sunday. And it's not looking like he's going to be back right away. So we'll have to keep an eye on him, see how well he recovers. But for this game, they're going to be fine versus Northern Kentucky. Kelvin Sampson company should have no issue moving on to the round of 32. Now, the 8-9 matchup is quite interesting. It's number 9 Auburn, actually a point favorite, versus number 8 Iowa, also Thursday game in Birmingham. Both of these coaches, Bruce Pearl and Fran McCaffrey, they are definitely personalities, do with different styles. Let's start with Auburn. They're 10-0 in the round of 64, and their team is not as great as it was like last year with Jabari Smith. For much of the season, they were the number one overall team in the country. Definitely have taken a step back from last season, but nonetheless, they're back in March Madness. Like I said, they're 10-0 all time in the round of 64, and Bruce Pearl just seems to have a knack for winning in March Madness. And on the other side for Iowa, Fran McCaffrey also, a few weeks back, he had a stare down with the referee, and for some reason, that's just jolted Iowa's season. They have a guy named Chris Murray, who's their best player. He has an older brother who went through Iowa's basketball program, Keegan Murray, who's now in the NBA on the Sacramento Kings. So this is his younger brother, Chris Murray, a great player as well. Auburn is definitely the more physical team, but I think Iowa just has more threats on offense. I've seen a lot of games where Auburn has just absolutely sputtered and they look lifeless on offense. I just trust Iowa more in this spot. It's definitely even in terms of coaching, but I trust Iowa's players to get the job done more. Okay. And another 5-12 matchup, Miami versus Drake. Miami the 5 and Drake the 12, Friday game in Albany, New York. The Canes are 2.5-point favorites. If you remember from last year, Miami was actually an Elite Eight team, and they lost to Kansas in the Elite Eight, who, by the way, Kansas won the national championship. Miami has a good core of players, Jordan Miller, Isaiah Wong, Nigel Pack. All of them are capable of putting up 15 to 20 points a night. Drake's team, particularly Drake's conference, has had a lot of early success in the tournament. Tucker DeFries is a good player for them. But based on Miami's experience, Jim Larrañaga and company, I think Miami will get past Drake. I don't see this as really a big upset on opening weekend for Miami. Now, the next game, I think I'm going to call an upset. You have the number 4 Indiana Hoosiers at 4.5-point favorites versus number 13 Kent State. Indiana, they have Trace Jackson Davis, who is going to probably be the runner-up for National Player of the Year. Mike Woodson, their head coach, has done a good job in his second season getting the Hoosiers back to the big dance, but Kent State is a good story because they had two true road games, first against Gonzaga earlier this year and Houston, who I just said was considered by many people to be the best team in the country. Against both those teams, true road games on the road in the opposing team's arenas, Kent State was up on both teams with just 3 minutes or a minute left. So if that doesn't prove that they can hang with the big boys, I don't know what does. So they are certainly capable, and I think they will upset Indiana. Rob Senderhoff has done a great job with Kent State. Sincere Carey, their point guard, is a great player. I just think an upset is bound to happen, and I'm going to go with Kent State over Indiana. I don't trust really Indiana to go that far. They're just not the power, that basketball power that they were back in the day, at least not yet. But this year, I don't think Indiana is going to go very far in the tournament. Okay. The next game is actually a playing game that I'm going to cover, part of the first four for number 11 Mississippi State versus number 11 Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh just because they're kind of been a resurgent team out of nowhere that's just kind of popped up and just surprised everybody recently. But I'm going to go with Pittsburgh over Mississippi State. I've seen Mississippi State once or twice. They're kind of a very roller coaster team. They're never consistent. They have games where you're like, whoa, they explode on offense, and the other games where they put up complete duds. And Pittsburgh, I think, has just been playing better of late, and I think that has to count for something. And with that said, Pittsburgh, I'm going with Pittsburgh to play number 6 Iowa State. And Iowa State out of the Big 12, I mean, what more can you say? Big 12 has a lot of great schools basketball-wise. And I'm going to go with Iowa State. I really can't remember a lot of their players. It's just, but they play as a good unit on, at least on defense. And I think they can handle Pittsburgh. That would be a very low scoring game if those two teams match up, a lot of physical battles, up and down the floor, but I would go with Iowa State in a close game over Pittsburgh. Next up, you got number 3 Xavier versus number 14 Kennesaw State. Xavier Musketeers are 13-point favorites. Friday game in Greensboro. Oh, I failed to mention, all the first four games are in Dayton, Ohio, which has been a tradition for a while. But back to the Xavier game. Sean Miller, the head coach for Xavier, previous coach at Arizona. He has the Xavier Musketeers doing great things, even though they got destroyed on Sunday by Marquette in the Big East tournament final. They're still a great team, and they should have no trouble getting to the second round versus Kennesaw State. All right. This next game, number 7 Texas A&M versus number 10 Penn State. Okay. I'm not the only one that has said this or is going to say it. Texas A&M got screwed on seeding. They should be at least a number 5 seed, maybe even a 4 seed at best. If you compare resumes to them, they could easily be a number 4 seed or definitely a number 5 seed. Especially compared to teams their own conference. Like, I went to A&M's home game versus Tennessee. A&M won that head-to-head versus Tennessee. They did lose on the road to Kentucky, but A&M finished higher in the net than both of those teams. And I know the non-conference back in November was kind of trash, but you finish second in the SEC, which was the second or third best conference. I think second best conference, top to bottom, in college basketball. And you make it also to the tournament final where you lose to the number 1 overall seed, at, who actually you beat on your home floor too, a couple weeks ago, on actually just 10 days ago on March 4th, you beat the number 1 overall seed at home, and you're lower, and you're a 7 seed. Teams like that should usually get a number 3 or number 4 seed at worst. So I don't understand what I would really love to sit down with the committee members in a room and really explain to me, other than those almost irrelevant non-conference losses back in November, why other reasons other than that to why A&M is a 7 seed and not a 4 or 5 seed. So A&M got screwed. That's just the bottom line. There's no other way to say it. And yeah, there's bias, but there's objections too. An objectiveness is with this is A&M did not deserve to get a number 7 seed. And Penn State, they have the ability to hit threes, yeah, but A&M can muck up the game. They are the best free throw shooting team in college basketball. Out of 353 teams, they are the best. Our point guard Wade Taylor IV was this past week named a third team All-American, arguably the best player in the SEC, arguably the best point guard really in the country, the way he's been playing, just leading the team just by his leadership and scoring and everything. Penn State has a good player also in Jalen Pickett. They're also good than the Lions are in close games, but Thursday in Des Moines, I'm going to go with A&M. I think the Aggies, Buzz Williams is going to be fired up. What he said with the committee last year, I think maybe that's why they screwed him over. But in this game, at least, I think A&M is going to take out their anger on the Nittany Lions. And absolutely no bias here. Going with the Texas A&M Aggies to move to the round of 32. Well, and then the final game in the Midwest region, of course, is the number 2 Texas Longhorns, 14.5-point favorites versus number 15 seed Colgate, the team I named after a toothpaste brand, I guess. That's definitely not why it's named Colgate, but a college from New York, also Thursday game in Des Moines. Colgate's actually the best 3-point shooting team in the country in terms of percentage, 41%. But seeing Texas so much this year in the Big 12, they have guys like the recently emerging Dylan Dessou in place of Timmy Allen, Marcus Carr, their good point guard, Dylan Mitchell, good player as well. Just Texas, they have a lot of size, a lot of athleticism. Last time Texas was actually number 2 seed back in 2008, they actually made the Elite Eight. And it's very possible that they make it back there again this year with their talent. So yeah, Texas should handle Colgate rather easily, which of course sets up a round of 32 matchup between A&M and Texas. Of course, the committee would put A&M and Texas and anticipate them facing each other. So of course, because that's how it works with this committee and its shenanigans. All right, so we did the South and Midwest regions. I will now cover the West and the East regions of the bracket. All right, here is the West part, the West region of the bracket. And I think this is the strongest region by far in the entire tournament. Number 1, Kansas. Number 2, UCLA. Number 3, Gonzaga. Number 4, UConn. Definitely a group of death type of bracket over here. With UConn, the number 4 seed, actually being a top 3 or top 2 team at one point in the season. And Kansas has been in the top 3 the past few months. UCLA has been in the top 5, top 10 consistently. Gonzaga, little bit under the radar, but still West Coast Conference champions. And even St. Mary's, the number 5 seed, who bested Gonzaga in the regular season record-wise, still that great. And number 6, TCU from the Big 12, who can beat a lot of teams in this bracket. TCU. Definitely a scary team too. Just those 6 alone is just that you can't really take any other region from the bracket and really compare them. That there's just really no comparison with the rest region. Now let's start with the games. Number 1 seed Kansas going up against number 16 Howard, Thursday in Des Moines. Kansas 22-point favorites. Let's not waste any time with this. Kansas is winning easily. Jalen Wilson, Grady Dick, first-round draft picks this year lead Kansas's attack. And Bill Self is back for Kansas on the sideline after having a health scare, which had him hospitalized for the Big 12 tournament this past week. I'm glad to hear Coach Self is back, and Kansas should begin its title defense with a victory in the round 64. Next up, the 8-9 game in this region is number 9 Illinois and number 8 Arkansas. Arkansas, the Razorbacks are 2.5-point favorites. Thursday game in Des Moines, this game is. Arkansas is actually quite familiar with March Madness. They've made the Elite Eight the past two tournaments. This year, they're led by freshman phenom Nick Smith, who's been back. Ricky Council, fourth, also a good player, candidate for SEC, was a candidate for SEC Player of the Year. I just trust Arkansas more. Illinois has been a bit up and down in the Big Ten this year, and I'm just going to go with Eric Musselman and the Arkansas Razorbacks. All right. Number 12 VCU versus number 5 St. Mary's. St. Mary's 4-point favorites Friday game in Albany, New York. VCU out of the A-10, a very good play this year, led by Ace Baldwin, their best player. Just the past month, VCU's been absolutely on fire. Other side for St. Mary's, Logan Johnson, great guard. Aiden Mahaney, great forward player for them. Randy Bennett at St. Mary's has always been a good, for the most part, been a decent tournament team. They haven't gone extremely far, but they've consistently made the tournament, kind of like Gonzaga has on the West Coast. This is a 12-5 game where I thought earlier about picking an upset, but the more I think about it, I just trust St. Mary's, their style of play. I think they'll be able to dictate pace and control things a little bit more. So I'm going to go with St. Mary's to get to the round of 32. And then next game up, UConn versus Iona. Number 4 UConn, number 13 Iona. The Huskies for UConn are 9.5-point favorites. Friday game in Albany, New York as well. Iona, of course, they're coached by Rick Pitino, who could be coaching elsewhere after this game is over. I say it because UConn will win. Iona has these two guards, Jenkins and Clayton, I believe. They're good, but Iona, historically, they always seem to get to the tournament, but they have zero tournament wins. And I still think it's going to be zero after this game because, like I said earlier, UConn was a top three team very early on in the season. Dan Hurley has a terrific squad, size, talent everywhere. They can play slow, they can play fast, they can do a lot of different things on the court, and UConn will move on to the round of 32. Okay, and then next game is the playing game, Arizona State versus Nevada. The other Hurley coach, Bobby Hurley, for Arizona State is gonna, I think, beat Nevada, but it's gonna all be for naught because I think TCU, led by the good coaching of Jamie Dixon and the play of Mike Miles Jr. and others, the Horned Frogs should make it to the round of 32. Then the 3-14 matchup is number 3 Gonzaga, 16.5-point favorites versus number 14 Grand Canyon, a Friday game in Denver. Gonzaga, of course, is led by Drew Timmy, National Player of the Year finalist. And Gonzaga is also back with the best offense in the nation. So really, really no debating this one. Gonzaga will steamroll Grand Canyon. Next up, Northwestern versus Boise State. Northwestern has, I think, a bit. This is a Thursday game in Sacramento, by the way. Boise State is favored by a point, but I just think Northwestern is a bit more battle-tested and has the better defense, and Boise State really doesn't have a lot of firepower that I'm really noticing. So I'm going to go with the Northwestern Wildcats, and good for Northwestern because this is only their second ever NCAA basketball tournament. And I found out the other day, which was quite amusing, but I think Northwestern will win the first round. And number 2, UCLA, 18-point favorites versus UNC Asheville. Now, UNC Asheville, a Thursday game in Sacramento also. UNC Asheville, excellent three-point shooting team. Drew Pember, also good player for UNC Asheville. UCLA, their defense by possession is actually the best in the country, but they're a little bit injured. Jalen Clark, of course, is out for them. They do have Jaime Jaquez, a good wing player, great wing player, and other pieces like I think Tyre Campbell too, Mick Cronin, just a good group for UCLA. Definitely an upset possibility, but I just don't see UCLA getting upset by UNC Asheville. So I have the Bruins moving on to the round of 32. Okay, that is the West region. Now, the final region to pick the round of 64 games in is the East region, which is kind of, you could say, one of the more weaker regions of the bracket as compared to the West region, especially like Tennessee as the number four seed. They're banged up to hell and back with Kai Ziegler and just their offense sputtering at times. Marquette with Shaka Smart, they're a good, great team, but not really an elite team. Kansas State, good team out of the Big 12. My dad's alma mater. They have good players. I don't know, this region kind of head scratching. I could see Duke is the five seed in this region. Kentucky is six. I could see Duke or Kentucky, honestly, coming out of this group. Just there's really no way with the way Purdue's been playing the past month or so. I don't think Purdue's gonna just waltz through this bracket. They're gonna have to put some work in if they want to get to Houston in the Final Four. But let's start with the 16-1 matchup, which is number one Purdue, either going up against Texas Southern or Farley Dickinson. I think I'm just going to go with Farley Dickinson. I don't really know either one of the teams. Texas Southern got here with 20 losses. I just don't think they're a quality team really either. But either way, Purdue will beat Farley Dickinson or Texas Southern. Then Memphis and Florida Atlantic in the 8-9 matchup. Memphis number 8, Florida Atlantic number 9, Friday game in Columbus, Ohio. Memphis, led by Kendrick Davis, whose average is 22 points a game. They're a great team. They're a very good team. And they just beat Houston on Sunday in the AAC championship game. Florida Atlantic is kind of underrated. They're actually a top 30 team by a lot of analytics measures. But I'm going to go with the Memphis Tigers in this one. I think Penny Hardaway and company will get to the round of 32. Duke Oral Roberts. So Oral Roberts, no stranger to college basketball, to March Madness. Thursday game in Orlando, by the way. They made the Sweet 16 2 years ago, and they were one shot away against Arkansas from making the Elite Eight. So definitely in the realm of possibilities that they can go deep in this tournament, especially with how chaotic it could be this year. They're an excellent shooting team. And on the other side for the Duke, they have guys like Kyle Filipowski, Jeremy Roach, seasoned veteran, Derek Whitehead, Derek Lively II, excuse me. Duke is favored by 7. And I know they're putting it together at the right time, but for my 12-5 upset this year, I'm going with Oral Roberts over Duke. John Shire has done a fantastic job doing the impossible task of taking over for Coach K. He's done an admirable job getting Duke to even this position. But I think Oral Roberts, with their very experienced team, I think they can handle Duke. And I think Duke will just go home early this year. Number 4, Tennessee, and number 13, Louisiana. Tennessee's actually 13-point favorites over Louisiana. Thursday game in Orlando. Tennessee, like I said, hit by the injury bug. Ziegler, their point guard, is out for the tournament. He tore his ACL, I think, the last weekend of the regular season, unfortunately for Tennessee. And their head coach, Rick Barnes, he is 500 in the tournament all time, 25-25 in his record. So, and he's really not known for making any deep runs. So he really needs to make some noise. And I think this is the year to do it. If he doesn't get it at least to the Sweet 16, at least, then there's going to be some talks in Knoxville about maybe them finding a different coach for basketball. But that's another topic for another day. Tennessee has been a top seven team by some metrics and analytics this season. I saw them play live against A&M here in College Station at Reed Arena. They're a good team. They can definitely play at, you know, their own pace. They can dictate tempo, good athleticism, definitely some defensive issues at times. Definitely some effort issues also at times. But in this game, they should have no problem with the Raging Cajuns. So I'm going to pick the Tennessee Volunteers to move to the second weekend. And then next game up, number 6, Kentucky, 4.5-point favorites against number 11, Providence, Friday in Greensboro, North Carolina. Providence, their best player is Bryce Hopkins, who happened to be at Kentucky last year. But Providence also has kind of these rumors going around the school that Ed Cooley, their head coach, could be going to Georgetown to take over after Patrick Ewing left. We'll see if that happens now. Kentucky, they at one point this year they were 1-9 versus quad one teams, quad one, 2, 3, and 4. That's just another way of measuring how teams stack up. Just a lot of different factors that go into it. But Kentucky, they've had a very strong second half. Definitely on a redemption tour after what happened to them versus St. Peter's. Of course, everyone probably knows what happened to them versus St. Peter's last year. They got Oscar Shibwe back, the reigning national player of the year. Cason Wallace, a good freshman guard. Austin Reeves, Jacob Toppin, athletic guys that can step up. I got Kentucky winning. I don't think Providence has anything going for them. Despite Bryce Hopkins having a good season, I think Kentucky has more players. And, you know, Coach Cal is not going to lose 2 years in a row, especially like that after what happened last year versus St. Peter's. There, I don't think that'll happen again. So Kentucky moves to the round of 32. Then number three, Kansas State, 8-point favorites against number 14, Montana State in Greensboro, North Carolina. Kansas State head coach Jerome Tang's done a fantastic job in this first season in Manhattan. Guys like Marquise Noel, an elite scoring guard, and Keontae Johnson, good player for Kansas State after he had that health scare with Florida, I think last year or the year before. Definitely back to his best self with Kansas State. So I got the Wildcats moving on versus, and they will be taking on Kentucky in the next round then. And then Michigan State, 7-10 versus number 10 USC, Friday in Columbus, Ohio. Michigan State is actually this year one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country at 39.5% from 3-4th best. Tom Izzo, one of the best March coaches of all time against USC. Even though USC is a good player, led by Boogie Ellis, Michigan State, Sparty should get the job done. and I'm rooting for them too, based on the incident that happened there a few weeks ago too. And also, and then the final matchup in this region, number 2 Marquette taking on number 15 Vermont. 12-point favorites is Marquette Friday in Columbus. Shaka Smart, for him, he's lost 6 straight round of 64 games, but I think Marquette will handle their business versus Vermont. So I have the Golden Eagles moving on to take on Sparty in the second round. Okay. So I have picked all the way up through the second round. I'm going to go ahead. Let's pick the rest of the bracket real fast. The South region start with Alabama, West Virginia. Alabama's talent, I think, is going to overwhelm West Virginia. So Bama's in the Sweet 16. San Diego State, Virginia, two defensive heavy teams. Gonna go with San Diego State actually over Virginia. Just trust San Diego State's offense just a little bit more. Creighton and Baylor, I'm gonna go with Creighton, just because of those defensive issues I talked about with Baylor earlier. I think they're gonna catch up with them at some point. I think Creighton will handle their business, and I think Arizona will handle Utah State. And then move the Sweet 16 in the South. I got Alabama versus San Diego State. I'm gonna go with Bama in this one. Then Arizona Creighton. I am going with Arizona. So got chalk kind of at the end. 1-2 in the South region. Alabama versus Arizona. I just think Alabama is more deep, more talented, just more ever so more slightly than Arizona. So I'm going to go with Bama to win the South region and reach the Final Four. In the Midwest region, Houston, Iowa in the Sweet 16. Houston, rated by many to be the best team in the country. I think they'll get past Iowa. Miami, Kent State. Another fun matchup. I just think Miami, based on their experience last year, gets to the Sweet 16 at least. Iowa State, Xavier. Give me Xavier over Iowa State. I trust Xavier's offense a bit more. Texas A&M, Texas. I want to go with A&M, but I just think, being objective, I think Texas is the more deeper, more talented team, and they will probably beat the Aggies, although I don't want to see that happen. And then Houston, Miami, Sweet 16. I'm going with the Cougars in the Sweet 16 to get to the Elite Eight. Then I have Texas, and man, Texas and Houston, the Elite Eight, that is a banger of a matchup. If Marcus Sasser plays in this game, I think that I think Houston wins this matchup. Now, if he doesn't, then I think Texas does, because Texas is deep and they're long and athletic. And they can give Houston some problems, but Houston is also kind of long and athletic too. So I'm going to go with the Cougars to win the Midwest region and head home to Houston to play in the Final Four. Okay, and now the Midwest region. So you got Kansas and Arkansas in the round of 32. Pretty good matchup, but I think Kansas wins it versus the Razorbacks. St. Mary's and UConn, kind of a fun matchup, I think, but UConn, Dan Hurley and company handle St. Mary's and Randy Bennett. TCU and Gonzaga, man, that is quite the matchup. TCU's Mike Miles, and then you got also and Emmanuel Miller, a good player for them too, going against Drew Timmy. You know what? Do I trust TCU? I want to go with Gonzaga just because they're more experienced, but I don't think Gonzaga is a true title threat this year. I don't know. Call me crazy, but I'm going to go with TCU in the Sweet 16. And then Northwestern UCLA, I think UCLA wins that game. Then in the Sweet 16, you got Kansas versus UConn. UConn definitely has a noticeable size advantage over Kansas. But Kansas, I think Bill Self will figure out a way to work around that, get the bigs in foul trouble. So he usually does that because Bill Self is the best coach in college basketball. I think Kansas gets back to the Elite Eight. TCU and UCLA. UCLA, I think the Bruins will handle their business. So you got Kansas and UCLA, two blue bloods going up against each other for a berth to the Final Four in line. I just think Kansas is more experienced. Most of their players are from last year's team. They just have bigger roles. And Bill Self versus Mick Cronin, two elite coaches, but I think Kansas under Bill Self gets back to the Final Four from the West region. And then the East region, Purdue and Memphis. Zach Edey, National Player of the Year front runner versus who did I say the best player for Memphis? Kendrick Davis and Penny Hardaway, the coach. I'm going to go with Purdue over Memphis, but ever so slightly. That will be a fun game. Oral Roberts, Tennessee. Tennessee's injuries have to catch up with them at some point. I'm going to go with Oral Roberts to get to the Sweet 16 over Tennessee. Kentucky and Kansas State. This would be a heck of a matchup, but I'm going to go with K-State. And then Michigan State, Marquette. Give me Sparty in an upset. I just trust Izzo, Tom Izzo, over Shaka Smart in that situation. Purdue and Oral Roberts. Now things get really, really interesting. I'm going to go with Purdue. Just the size of Zach Edey could overwhelm Oral Roberts inside. Kansas State, Michigan State, two state schools. I just think Kansas State, the more talented team, is going to make it through to the Elite Eight. And then I have Purdue, Kansas State for a trip to Houston on the line. And I'm going to go with K-State. Jerome Tang, he's done something special, and why not do something more with it? So in the Final Four, you got Alabama and K-State, Alabama versus K-State, and then you got Houston versus Kansas. So I have both Kansas schools making it to the Final Four this year. First up with the Alabama and Kansas State game, that would probably be the early game because the more watched game is usually the second game. So more people will probably watch Houston and Kansas. Alabama, K-State, two good teams, two great teams, but I think Alabama would win that matchup. And then Houston and Kansas. See, Houston was supposed to get to the Final Four, but they tripped up a little bit last year in the Elite Eight. Just they fell apart in their Elite Eight game a little bit. Kansas, definitely, I think they still feel a chip on the national, even though they won the national championship. I don't think people give Kansas the respect they deserve as much as they would give like Duke or Kentucky or North Carolina the respect if those teams won the championship. It's going to be tough. This would be a heck of a matchup. I'm going to go with Kansas. Just, I trust Bill Self in this situation, especially after last year. And then you got Bama and Kansas for the national championship. Boy, that would be a firecracker of a matchup. But I think Kansas falls short of repeating, and Bama will be your national champion for March Madness. So there you go. You got my bracket. So Alabama, number one overall seed. Surprise, I picked them to win the national championship. Of course, I'm going to fill out many other brackets besides this one. And I hope you guys enjoy all the madness like I will. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Take care.